Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for hanging with us this afternoon on this Thursday. Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic, is with me here in Studio A. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about a thing that's at the Hippodrome Theater here in Baltimore, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So in this play, in this musical, children find little golden tickets inside candy bars. That seems like a good deal. It's the musical theater version of this somewhat old story, I guess. Is it a golden ticket in and of itself?
I have to say, first of all, Tom, in relation to your last guest, now we're going to talk about my favorite food group, which is chocolate. But in answer to your question specifically...
And Ms. Rossi is, by the way, not a licensed nutritionist. Right?
No, far from it. Yes, for the most part, I did find this musical a golden ticket. I had a very good time. The show celebrates creativity, and it does it in a very creative way. And thematically, a good heart triumphs over greed, and that's always something that's good to see. It's based on Roald Dahl's 1964 novel. That's the oldie but goodie you're referring to. That novel has sold more than 40 million copies. It's about a candy maker named Willy Wonka who owns a mysterious factory no one has gone in or out for years, but the place keeps producing candy. Willy Wonka creates a worldwide sensation by hiding 5 golden tickets, the ones you mentioned again. Children who find these tickets will get to tour his factory and compete for a grand prize, and one of those children is Charlie. Now, the novel also includes song lyrics, and there was a 1971 movie that had songs by Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley, so there's a lot of precedent for making this a stage musical. The stage musical keeps 4 of those songs from the 1971 movie, including The Candy Man, which opens the show, but the score has more than a dozen new songs by Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, who wrote Hairspray, the score for Hairspray. The direction is by Hairspray's Jack O'Brien. So these are folks who know how to strike a balance between quirky and dark. Mostly, and this is the most golden aspect of the musical.
What could be dark about this, the chocolate?
Oh, you'll find out. Yes, this is definitely dark chocolate, no question. The creators of the musical, though, have taken a cue from one of the songs from the movie, Pure Imagination. Little Charlie and Willy Wonka, who's kind of a big kid himself, have richer lives in their imaginations than the 4 other indulged, entitled ticket holders, and that really comes across on stage. Let's listen to a bit of Pure Imagination from the touring production.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living here,
all right, that's Noah Weisberg. He plays Willy Wonka. He's singing that beautiful tune, Pure Imagination. This is a production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the Hippodrome here in Baltimore. So, Judy, you mentioned that the novel and the 1971 movie, those two sources, Gene Wilder played Willy Wonka.
That's
is that right?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Because I got confused when I heard Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I wonder if that was a different piece than Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
No, they just changed the title a bit.
Yeah, all right, but it's the same story, right?
Yes.
But is there another movie? And which source is this musical adapted from?
There is another movie. There was a 2005 movie that starred Johnny Depp. The musical's primary source, though, is the novel. David Grieg wrote the script for the musical, and he made a few changes. The musical begins with Willy Wonka telling us he wants to find a successor, and this means he has to go out into the world. He goes undercover, he opens a candy shop, he befriends little Charlie, who's his biggest fan, though Charlie is too poor to buy any candy. The musical also takes place today. Several kids with golden tickets have been updated. There's a boy named Mike TV. In the book, he's addicted to television. Here, he's also a computer hacker. He wins his golden ticket because he hacked Willy Wonka's computer. In the novel, these greedy, nasty, competing kids get their comeuppance, but they survive. In the musical, their fates are much more dire and even scary. But darkness has always been a Roald Dahl trait. The book has a chapter called The Family Begins to Starve. One quirk that the musical expands comes from...
Cheery,
isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. That's Roald Dahl. There's one quirk that the musical expands from the 1971 movie. Willy has a tendency to say familiar phrases backwards. For example, so much time, so little to do. And Shaman and Whitman get two songs out of this. One of them is called Strike That, Reverse It. And another comes at the end of the first act. It's called Must Be Believed to Be Seen, which is a great title. And it's the central concept of the show. If you believe in yourself and in your ideas, then make believe can come true. Here's a clip from Must Be Believed to Be Seen.
Things appear quite strange now. Imagine the
That's the touring production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So, Judy, speaking of factories, magical things happen, as I recall, in Willy Wonka's factory. How does that get conveyed in this stage production?
Well, some effects work better than others, Tom. There are a few that are quite disappointing. The show adds an imaginary maze, which is very funny, but overall it relies way too heavily on projections. The greatest success is Willy Wonka's factory workers, those diminutive folk called Oompa Loompas. The musical brought in MacArthur Genius Grant recipient Basil Twist to design puppets and illusions. And these Oompa Loompas are so splendiferous, they repeatedly got applause on opening night. They have a puppet body and a human head with curly red wigs. They do a chorus line at one point. They have a great curtain call. Do not rush out. Wait for the curtain call. Willy Wonka rescued the Oompa Loompas from their native land in the book, and this can be kind of a thorny issue, but they're absolutely joyful in this musical.
Can anybody spell colonization?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a famous W.C. Fields quote, which he says, never work with kids and dogs. I don't know about dogs or other animals in this show, but presumably there are child actors in this. How do they do, and how do the adult actors do as well?
Well, they're no real animals, and even though all five ticket winners are children, Charlie is the only one who's played by a child actor. Actually, three actors alternate in that role, three boys. The boy I saw is called Ruby Woods, and his enthusiasm and his pure singing and spirit just sparkle. The other four golden ticket winners are played by adults, but as children. And the fact that Charlie is the only child character who's played by a child actor sets him apart even more. He's the smallest, but he has the biggest heart. Noah Weisberg, whom we've heard in these two recordings, is excellent as Willy Wonka. He plays it with a manner that's closer to gentle Gene Wilder than that somewhat demented Johnny Depp portrayal. And he and Charlie are really kindred spirits. Each fulfills a need in the other. I want to say, this show revolves around candy, but there's nothing saccharine about it. At times, it is bittersweet, even bitter. But at least for Charlie, it ends happily. But be warned, you're going to leave craving chocolate.
There you go. Well, I will enter craving chocolate, so it doesn't matter. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's at Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. It closes on Sunday. We've got showtimes and all that stuff on our website, wipr.org/midday. So speaking of the Hippodrome, Judy, they have announced their season for next year. What's on tap for them?
Well, there isn't another Hamilton to drive the season. There may never be, but the season does include the last two Tony Award-winning musicals. It's an all-musical season. The 2018 winner, The Band's Visit, will be here in March. This is based on an Israeli film about an Egyptian police band that accidentally winds up in a small Israeli town. The 2017 Best Musical winner, Dear Evan Hansen, comes in May. This is about an ill-at-ease high school boy who becomes overly involved with a family of a deceased classmate. The rest of the shows are two other newcomers, Aladdin, a stage adaptation of the Disney animation, and Summer, the Donna Summer musical, and then all of the others are revivals. But The Band's Visit and Evan Hansen, two distinctive musicals, yeah. I'm especially glad to welcome to Baltimore.
That'll be fun. All right, we will see you next week. We're going to talk about a show that's a favorite of yours called Company. It's at Still Point Theater. We'll see you then.
See you then, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we're hearing the I word mentioned with increasing frequency by critics of the Trump administration, but But is impeachment the appropriate congressional response to this controversial presidency? We're going to talk about that tomorrow here on Midday. Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. They're celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up after news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.